Listeners, included with this episode of The Common Ground is a trigger warning. This episode is about abortion, and we will be discussing abortion, as well as rape, incest, and perhaps some other matters that may be disturbing for some listeners. For this reason, if hearing about such things is difficult for you, or troubling, or may cause you difficulties, we recommend you skip listening to this episode and tune in next week when we solve all of the world's other problems. This is Dan Barish, the Jewish liberal from Cleveland.
And this is Matt Shepard, the Mormon conservative from Seattle.
And we are the Common Ground. So, today we are going to give you what you really want. We are going to tackle the hot button of hot button issues. Because I think even the conservatives understand that, like it or not, no offense, that didn't sound very nice, did it? Oops. You folks have lost the battle on gay marriage, basically, and you know it. But you're actually winning the battle on abortion, and that makes it more controversial because we know we're in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, so to me, my idea is pretty simple. No one has a right to take an innocent life, and I believe that a child in utero is life, and that's pretty much my opinion. And so whether it makes you uncomfortable or not, whether it inconveniences you still don't have the right to take another human life.
The position I take, and I am not claiming here to represent the liberal monolith, I'm just speaking for myself. I think our consensus would be that life needs to be protected, life is sacred, etc., etc. The liberal problem, the liberal contention is, you know, I don't think abortion should just be some casual thing. But the thing is this, that if you say it should never, 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 never be permitted because the life in the woman needs to be preserved, what we're really saying is that once she's pregnant, the woman is subordinate to the life inside her. She is just a vessel. Her own needs are irrelevant and can be dismissed as nothing more than an inconvenience. To say nothing of, was she raped? To say nothing of, is it life-threatening? To say nothing of, is hers a teenage body that can't, shouldn't handle the stress of pregnancy? Every woman who has an abortion does it for her own reasons, and we really have no right to judge her reasons, or to ask her for her reasons.
In my head, like, the choice that you have, like the pro-choice, is actually in the beginning, the actual creation of the baby. In the case of rape, you have lost your choice. And you're lost the choice to make the baby or not. Now, personally, I think those that still carry the baby to term, you know, I think are presenting a great sacrifice, but I don't, you know, the actual original choice in the case of rape was taken away from the woman. And so...
So do you oppose rape oh my god, of course you oppose rape. Sorry! Do you oppose abortion in the case of rape, then, or not?
I consider it, like, a lesser of two evils, basically. I would like the baby to be able to live, but if it, you know, the woman didn't have a choice in the instance of rape. And that's kind of, you know, the libertarian inside me says, you know, if someone's choice is taken away from them, then there may be other ways that you can get around that. And, you know, the liberal answer is, well, abortion, that's the way around it. But to me, like, two wrongs don't necessarily make a right.
The problem to me fundamentally is that it appears to liberals as though conservatives, particularly males, have gathered to themselves the right to make decisions for women, whereas we feel that abortion is a choice a woman makes, perhaps in collaboration with her doctor, perhaps in collaboration with her family, but it's her choice, plain and simple. No one else gets to make it for her. That's what we feel. And we can talk about choices people make, but that gets into judgment, and then that gets into demanding an explanation from her. And I don't think that we're entitled to one. What I think is that, you know, there's the article published by, I believe, in the year 2005 by Lancet shows us And this article has been questioned a bit, but Lancet had an article in 2005 that basically showed that when you take away abortion as a safe, legal, easily available procedure, what goes up in frequency is women doing it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're going to die. They're going to go to the coat hangers. They're going to go to unsafe chemicals. They're going to go to back alley abortions done by incompetent people, and they're going to die en masse. So would we rather lose the fetus, or would we rather lose the fetus and the woman? Because the choice is that stark, even if you oppose abortion.
So there's...
It's almost...
Yeah. I mean, so the consideration to me is, do you have the right to kill someone else?
You know what? Pregnancy is an extremely unique situation.
It is very unique, I will give you that.
There's no other situation you can...
It is very unique. It's a very unique situation, yes. There's nothing really else that compares with it, even though a number of people try. Like, well, if a person is hooked up to you involuntarily at the hospital, and using your liver or something, none of those really compare.
No. There's other interventions that might be possible in other situations, and I don't think we're well served by comparing this to that or that to this. I think liberals often shy away, and this is certainly a critique I'd make of my own side. We understand, when you believe life begins comes down to biology and also comes down to metaphysics.
Mm-hmm.
But what you can't shy away from, but many liberals may try, is to admit that that thing, you may not consider it a life, but it's absolutely going to be a life if nothing is done to it or goes wrong with it. It's going to be a life. I think that's just obvious, and we need to get a grip on that.
So my question to you, Dan, is liberals, when do you consider that life to become a person? A person with all the rights of a baby, of a person.
I think the standard liberal answer is once they're born. If there is a standard liberal answer, I question the notion that there is such a thing. Mm-hmm. My personal answer, and this may surprise you, is I don't know and I don't care. And here's why I say that. A baby once born, well, if you kill a baby that's born, we call that murder and we put you in prison where you belong.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I think if we get caught up in pins and needles on when does life begin, when is it a person, then what we're really doing is we're sidestepping something much more important, which is, do we decide that the woman is basically owned by the baby inside her and isn't allowed to do anything to it? And also, fetal personhood is terribly dangerous because you then have situations where women, and this is actually happening and is not a theory, are getting arrested for having miscarriages, especially if it's alleged that they're drug
abuse. I don't agree with that. So, I definitely don't agree with that.
I'm sorry. Right, but if you do fetal personhood, that's where you go. Interesting example in the criminal system as well, by the way. You know, we recently here in Cleveland had a horrible criminal case with a gentleman. Why am I calling him gentleman? A person named Errol Castro, who, held three women hostage in his basement, including one of them. One of them was there for just over 10 years. They were basically there for plus or minus a decade. Plus or minus a couple of years off a decade, basically. They were gotten pregnant multiple times. One of them had a baby. And they allowed Ariel Castro to take a plea deal. And part of the reason that I'm glad that he was given a plea deal is that if he'd been taken to trial for murder, it would have been on the fetal homicide. Because keep in mind, he was accused of some terrible things, and he did them all. But he did not kill any adults. No one thought he killed adults. It was that he caused miscarriages by stomping on the women, for example. And so if you took him to trial on the murder, among other things that would have happened is you would have brought the abortion wars into the courtroom by saying, well, did he really kill people?
Mm-hmm.
And that would have dragged it out. The purpose behind giving him a plea deal wasn't mercy for him. It was, these women have been through enough. Let's get him out of here, into prison where he belongs, and let these women live the rest of their lives. That was the point.
Yeah. So, would you consider someone who purposefully abuses a woman to cause a miscarriage or a forced abortion? Where would you consider that along the lines?
I'd consider that criminal conduct, and that person needs to be in prison. But. That doesn't matter because it's all about choice. If, for example, in China, sometimes, as we know, under the one-child policy, women have been forced into abortions, and that's heinous. An abortion needs to be a choice a woman makes rather than an act of violence that is perpetrated upon her body by an abusive partner, for example. That happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about the choice. Our objection, as liberals, I really believe this fundamentally comes down to you don't get to turn a woman into a vessel for the parasite that's in her. She should not lose her autonomy, which is what social conservatives sometimes seem to want to do. You know, take away her autonomy because she's pregnant. And, you know, I've known people who've had an abortion. And you know what? It was the worst and hardest day of their lives. It was not some, la la la, I don't want to be pregnant anymore, bam. You know, it's not easy. And because this battle gets harsh and loud and angry and people have been literally, of course, killed over it. And I don't just mean the fetuses. We tend to forget that it's the hardest day of a woman's life, very often anyway. It's
yeah, not so easy and, to make you know, I, you know, again, like, the libertarian inside me is, like, kind of wrestles with this a bit. Because, you know, like, I do want people to have choices and autonomy and that sort of thing, but to me, a life is a life is a life. And now, a lot of people consider it at conception. Is when the life begins. I do not. For me, it's an implantation. Because, you know, the analogy to me is if I eat a seed or eat an acorn or something, I'm not killing a tree or a plant. I'm eating the seed. But if it's planted and starts to grow, then that is when, you know, that's when it becomes a life.
And to me, it's not a question of whether you're taking away a life. That's a metaphysical and a biological question.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to shy away from, even if it's not a life now, then surely enough it will soon enough be a life. It's all about autonomy and the taking away of it by men from women. Because it's men, I mean, legislators are almost all male, the Congress being no exception. And so and most legislators are white. And so we have a situation of a lot of, especially in Congress,
Most people are white as well, but
in any case, you have a situation of just the stark situation of, you know, males, most of whom are white, taking away choice, a choice that they will never even be able to have, legislating rules upon bodies that they don't have, situations that they will never have to experience, or that even maybe some of them have experienced in their private and personal lives and kept it quiet.
Mm-hmm.
All the politicians who have had affairs and, you know, gave the woman a little money, maybe she did something nice for him and went away and got rid of that problem. I don't know. I think that happens on both sides of the aisle. And so that's deeply offensive to liberals, is these politicians legislating upon women's bodies what will happen to them.
Yeah, again, the baby is dependent on the mother, but it is not the mother. It is its own life, honestly. And now the one thing that, you know, I am a big proponent of self-defense. So if your life is in danger, or if you perceive your life as being in danger, then you have a right to try to protect that life, even up to the point of killing someone in order to prevent them from taking your life. Now, in that case, because I consider this baby another person, if for some reason that baby is going to kill you, like, in the case of an ectopic pregnancy is the far and wide most common, and pretty much the only one in which the baby is going to kill you if it doesn't miscarry. Now, in that case, like, in an ectopic pregnancy where the baby has no chance of growing big enough to survive outside the womb, no chance of, and basically if it doesn't die on its own, it will kill you. In that case, I agree that it is a matter of self-defense to take the life of the baby.
You know, and here's where I come from. I'm not even that interested in discussing different reasons why women,
mm-hmm.
You know, let me put it a different way. Different exceptions. Oh, rape. Oh, incest. Oh, ectopic pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
Because then we're basically just asking the woman to justify herself, and I feel as though we have no business asking her to justify herself. She's probably already had to do it in her own life. How dare we ask her to do it in the public sphere or by laws? That being said, mm-hmm. I lost my train of thought.
Well, that's embarrassing. And also, to me, if there are other measures that we can take that will reduce abortion, which can reduce abortion,
yes.
to me, like, getting an ultrasound is one of those measures, which I am for.
No, strongly opposed. Transvaginal ultrasound is medically legislated.
My wife has had one of those. I haven't had one, can never have one, so I don't know. But, like, my wife has had a couple different transvaginal ultrasounds. And at least in her experience, it's, it's not traumatic. It's not anything, like, it's medically, she said it was better than getting a pap smear.
Was she? I mean, it
was. Or? They wanted to check on the baby. It was a medical thing, so it was a choice.
Exactly.
It's no. It was actually better than getting a pap smear. Which?
Well, see, here's the difference. A transvaginal ultrasound, when it's a medically relevant procedure, that's between a woman and her doctor, and there's plenty of good reasons to do it. For example, my doctor friend, who I'll keep anonymous because he didn't ask to be brought into this discussion, you know, he explained how the only real reason, at least in his opinion at the time, he was saying that one of the reasons you do a transvaginal ultrasound is that, like, let's say you have a patient who's morbidly obese, which to my knowledge Chelsea certainly is not, but if you have a patient who is morbidly obese, the transvaginal ultrasound is going to get a better image than a more traditional ultrasound will, having to go through all that flesh. Our objection to transvaginal ultrasound is, if you look at any rape statute, it's an object penetrating an orifice. That could be the mouth, could be the vagina, could be the anus. A transvaginal ultrasound goes through the vagina and gets an ultrasound image. And there's plenty of good reasons to do them. Plenty of good reasons to do them. But these new laws where women are forced to get an ultrasound before they have an abortion and to see the baby and to hear the baby's heartbeat and have all these things described to them, what conservatives may not realize and what we liberals feel very keenly is you're taking the worst day a woman's ever going to have and intentionally making it more traumatic. Do you really think, not Matt, but conservatives, that she hasn't already, but this isn't already the worst day of her life, that maybe she's felt that baby squirming inside of her? For example,
if she's like most women, she hasn't. Most women don't. Most women don't start feeling the baby until the second trimester, and most abortions.
That was a bit of a science fail. My wife is in the end of her second trimester, and she certainly wasn't feeling it squirming in the first trimester. He was working on growing from a single-celled organism in the first trimester, after all.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the point is, for many women who have abortions, it's the worst day of her life. And what we feel as liberals is that it's a tremendously patronizing, condescending, at least, attitude that, you don't really understand what you're doing here. We're going to force an ultrasound upon you. In fact, we're going to force you to have an object inserted into your vagina so that you'll understand. And the fascinating thing is that in any other context at all, having something shoved up your vagina that you didn't want is called rape, and you go to prison, where you belong.
As far as I know, no one is encouraging them to, like, strap them down and forcibly do it, which...
Oh, no, but they may as well, because we're saying if you want to have an abortion, you need to have a transvaginal ultrasound, which is medically unnecessary, but we want to make you feel the feels. We're going to shove this thing up your vagina.
The conservative rationale for this is, I haven't fact-checked this statistic, so if it's wrong, let me know. But the statistic that's thrown out there by a lot of conservatives is that it reduces the likelihood of abortion by 90%.
And where's our stats on this? And even if it is the case, it's fundamentally a scare tactic. She didn't make the decision necessarily out of not knowing what was in there. I fundamentally feel we don't get to decide whether a woman has a justification for an abortion. What we know is they're going to go get themselves killed in a lot of cases if they don't get an abortion in a safe, clean, healthy way.
Well, in that case, then we should be prosecuting people like Kermit Gosnell. Not ignoring them for 20 years.
Well, it's not like... Oh, yeah, no, I mean, it sounds like he ran an absolute hell house. But the fact is that, the New York Times actually had a great story on an abortion doctor who works in Mississippi from time to time, and he was saying, actually, an abortion performed properly is lower risk than giving birth. Not my words, that's the doctor talking. And that's a paraphrase of the doctor, but in any case, that's his medical opinion. Kermit Gosnell is an aberration, as far as I know, as far as we know. And of course, as soon as I saw that story come out, I thought, the conservatives are going to have a heyday with this. And I was right! You got tossed a bone. You got tossed a piece of red meat. And just as we liberals do when we hear something about a conservative politician. That's the way it goes. Ooh, red meat. But yeah, to me, this is all about autonomy and not about the woman needing to justify anything. And it's also because of the pragmatic approach that if she can't have it safe, clean, and legal, she is darn sure going to do it some other way a lot of the time, and she may well die.
So I'm not sure where we get to a consensus here.
I think the consensus is actually pretty obvious. Two bits of consensus. Number one, that we believe life is sacred and should be protected, but that in my codicil, sometimes you have to have some compromises if it's a parasitic situation such as pregnancy. And then number two, I think we both agree that abortion should be rare.
Mm-hmm.
And you think it should be non-existent, I think. I think it should be rare. And I think it should be rare because...
In an ideal world, it would be non-existent. In a world where there are things like rape and ectopic pregnancies and things of that nature, then getting abortions to zero is not going to happen.
And by the way, in my perfect world, they wouldn't happen either. In my perfect world where there's no weapons, no warfare, no one fights another, no one raises hand to another, beat your swords into plowshares, that type of thing,
then
there wouldn't be abortions, and that would be fantastic. And I think part of how we begin even remotely to get there is we need to have a much smarter sex ed curriculum. We need to get away from abstinence only because it doesn't work. We need to be giving free condoms to teenagers. And yes, we need to abandon some failed policies. And certainly states where the education curriculum is abstinence only have significantly, I believe, higher rates of premarital sex and premarital childbirth. And certainly all the indicators are that when a child is born to a single parent, forgive me, liberals, the outcome is not as good.
Yes, that is true. So,
I mean, that's certainly, research really does acclaim that finding. That's a pretty exciting.
Them having a single parent is better than better than being a ward of the state. So it is cumulative. So,
well, having been a child care worker at a homeless shelter for children, I can tell you, you don't want to be a ward of the state.
No,
you really don't. You really truly don't. I won't name them because laws, but I can think of a significant number of the children I worked with directly whose names I can remember who are now in prison.
Yeah.
So that's how successful that was.
You know, so, one thing that I would like to see happen is to see more birth control becoming over the counter. And so I think that's one thing that we can agree upon.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, having to go to a doctor and get a prescription, I mean, you should see a doctor anyway just to get checkups and things like that, but to having to explain to someone else, like, hey, I'm interested in, you know, having premarital sex now. Like, that's my, like, explaining that to someone, you know, is often embarrassing and, you know, that sort of thing. So I'm all for birth control being made more widely available. Now, in the case of instances like Hobby Lobby, I'm against people being forced to provide it for free on their own dime. But that's another thing for another day.
That's another can of worms that would take another half hour and we can solve that problem.
But I am for birth control being made more widely available. Almost all conservatives, I have never actually heard a conservative that was against birth control being made available or against birth control at all, being like wanting to legislate no birth control. I've never heard of it. So if anyone posts that or says that conservatives want to take away birth control, excluding abortion, as some people consider abortion part of birth control. But, like, birth control, like the birth control pills, that sort of thing, no one wants to legislate that away. So, bringing that up as a straw man, that doesn't exist. So, anyway, just to...
Okay, so yes, I we came to consensus, and there were totally no personal attacks. I got a bit heated, maybe a bit, but, and maybe you did, I don't know if you felt... heated. I felt a bit heated, but, you know, this is the hot buttonest of all the issues, I would humbly argue, and so that's part of the goal of this podcast, just to show we can have a civil discussion, and we totally did. Yeah. So
I think our consensus is we need to use common sense things that will help prevent the abortions from happening, like, from happening in the first place, for the need to have abortions, is kind of I think, where our consensus is.
Yes. Sounds good.
All right. Any last words, Dan, or?
Nope. This is Dan Barish, the Jewish liberal from Cleveland, signing off.
And this is Matt Shepard, the Mormon conservative from Seattle, signing off.